Welcome to Exam Ready Religious Studies, the podcast that gets you from confused to confident, one topic at a time. I'm your host, and today we are diving deep into one of the most important and most misunderstood topics in your AQA GCSE Religious Studies course, the Atonement. Whether you're sitting paper one or revising for your mocks, this episode is going to walk you through everything you need to know, the theology, the scripture, the exam technique, and the common traps that cost students marks every single year. So grab your revision notes and let's get into it. Section 1. What is the Atonement? The big picture. Let's start with the most important word you need to know for this topic. Reconciliation. Write it down. The Atonement is about reconciliation, the restoration of the broken relationship between God and humanity. But why was the relationship broken in the first place? That's where original sin comes in. Christians believe that when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, eating the forbidden fruit, sin entered the world. This act of disobedience created a fundamental separation between humanity and God. Romans 6, verse 23 puts it starkly, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That verse is gold for your exam. Learn it word for word. So the problem is this: humanity is separated from God because of sin, and the consequence of sin is spiritual death. The Atonement is God's solution to that problem. And the mechanism, the how, is the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Section 2, the three theological mechanisms of atonement. Now, this is where students often lose marks. They say, "Jesus died for us," and stop there. But examiners want you to explain the theological mechanism, the why and how behind the death of Jesus. There are three main theories you need to know. Theory 1. Substitutionary atonement. This is the most widely held view, especially among evangelical Christians. The idea is that Jesus, as the sinless Son of God, took the punishment that humanity deserved for sin. Think of it like this: justice demands a penalty for wrongdoing. Humanity owed a debt it could not pay. Jesus, being fully human and fully divine and crucially without sin, stepped in as a substitute. He paid the price on our behalf. This is why John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world in John 1, verse 29. The lamb imagery is deeply rooted in Jewish sacrificial tradition. A spotless lamb was offered to God as a sin offering. Jesus is that ultimate, final sacrifice. This connects directly to Anselm of Canterbury's satisfaction theory from the 11th century. Anselm argued that sin dishonored God and only a perfect being, both human and divine, could make satisfaction for that dishonor. Jesus, as fully God and fully human, was uniquely qualified to do this. Theory 2, ransom theory. This is one of the oldest theories of atonement associated with early church fathers like Origen. The idea is that humanity was held captive, enslaved, by the power of sin and death and by Satan. Jesus' death was the ransom price paid to free humanity from that captivity. Mark 10, verse 45 supports this. "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, theologians debate who exactly the ransom was paid to, God, Satan? But the key point for your exam is that ransom theory emphasizes liberation and freedom. Humanity was trapped. Jesus' sacrifice set them free. Theory 3, moral exemplar theory. This view, associated with the 12th century theologian Peter Abelard, takes a different angle entirely. Rather than focusing on a legal transaction or a ransom payment, Abelard argued that Jesus' death was primarily a supreme demonstration of God's love, an example so powerful that it inspires humanity to turn away from sin and live moral, loving lives. The atonement on this view works by transforming human hearts. It's less about satisfying divine justice and more about moral inspiration. This theory is particularly relevant when you're writing your 12-mark evaluation questions because it represents a significantly different understanding of how salvation works. Section 3, the resurrection, why it matters for atonement. Here's a mistake I see constantly in exam scripts. Candidates focus entirely on the crucifixion and forget the resurrection. But the resurrection is absolutely essential to the atonement. Here's why. First, the resurrection validates the sacrifice. If Jesus had simply died and stayed dead, there would be no proof that his sacrifice was accepted by God or that it had any power over sin. Paul makes this explicit in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." The resurrection is God's confirmation that the sacrifice worked. Second, the resurrection defeats death itself. Romans 6 verse 9 states, Christ, having been raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. This is crucial. The atonement doesn't just deal with the guilt of sin, it deals with the consequence of sin, which is death. Through the resurrection, Jesus opens the possibility of eternal life for all who believe. Third, and this is a common mistake to avoid, do not confuse the resurrection with the ascension. The resurrection is Jesus rising from the dead on the third day. The ascension is Jesus returning to heaven 40 days later. The resurrection is the primary act that validates the atonement. The ascension is a separate event. Mixing these up in an exam will cost you marks. Section 4, Faith versus Works, The Great Debate. This is the heart of your 12-mark evaluation questions on atonement. The central tension is this. Is salvation achieved through faith alone, or does it require moral action, good works? The Protestant position, particularly associated with Martin Luther and the Reformation of the 16th century, is sola fide, faith alone. Luther argued that salvation is entirely a gift of God's grace, received through faith. Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 9 is the key text. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. On this view, no amount of good deeds can earn salvation. It is freely given by God and received through trust in Jesus. The Catholic position is more nuanced. While Catholics absolutely affirm that salvation comes through God's grace, they also emphasize that this grace is received and sustained through the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist, also called Holy Communion or Mass. In the Eucharist, Catholics believe that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is represented, made present again, in a mystical way. The bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ. This is called transubstantiation. So for Catholics, participating in the sacraments is not earning salvation through works, but rather receiving and cooperating with God's grace. James 2 verse 17 adds another layer. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. This suggests that genuine faith will naturally produce good works, not as a means of earning salvation, but as evidence of it. For your 12-mark question, a strong answer will not just list these views, it will assess the strength of the theological logic on each side. Which argument is more coherent? Which has stronger scriptural support? That analytical layer is what gets you into level 4. Section 5, Exam Tips and Common Mistakes. Right, let's get practical. Here are the most important exam tips for this topic. Tip 1, always include a source of wisdom and authority, a SOA, in your 5-mark answers. The mark scheme explicitly states that candidates cannot access full marks without referencing scripture or another authoritative source. Your go-to verses are John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans 6 verse 23, John 1 verse 29, Mark 10 verse 45, Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 9. Learn at least 3 of these by heart. Tip 2. Use the word reconciliation to define the outcome of the atonement. Examiners are looking for this term. The atonement achieves reconciliation, the restoration of the broken relationship between God and humanity. Tip 3. In 12-mark evaluation questions, do not just describe different views. You must assess them. Use phrases like, this argument is theologically strong because, or a weakness of this position is, or the Catholic view is more convincing than the Protestant view because, show the examiner you are thinking, not just listing. Tip 4. Distinguish clearly between the means of salvation and the requirements for salvation. The means, how salvation is made possible, is the cross and resurrection of Jesus. The requirements, what humans must do to receive it, is where Christians disagree. Faith alone or faith plus works plus sacraments. Tip 5. Do not confuse the ascension with the resurrection. This comes up every year. Resurrection equals rising from the dead. Ascension equals returning to heaven. Different events, different theological significance. Section 6, Quickfire Recall Quiz. Cover your notes and test yourself. I'll ask the question, give you a moment to think, then give the answer. Question 1. What is the theological term for the restoration of the relationship between God and humanity? The answer is reconciliation. Question 2, which verse states, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life? The answer is Romans 6, verse 23. Question 3. What is the name of the theory that says Jesus took the punishment humanity deserved? The answer is substitutionary atonement. Question 4. What Latin phrase means faith alone and is associated with Martin Luther? The answer is sola fide. Question 5. What Catholic sacrament represents the sacrifice of Jesus? The answer is the Eucharist, also called Mass or Holy Communion. Question 6. Which theologian developed the satisfaction theory of atonement in the 11th century? The answer is Anselm of Canterbury. Question 7. What does 1 Corinthians 15 verse 17 say about the resurrection? The answer is, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread that section of your notes. Section 7, summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. The atonement is about reconciliation. God restoring the broken relationship with humanity caused by original sin. The mechanism is the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus. There are three main theories: substitutionary atonement, where Jesus takes our punishment; ransom theory, where Jesus pays the price to free us from sin and death; and moral exemplar theory, where Jesus' death inspires moral transformation. The resurrection is essential. It validates the sacrifice and defeats death. And the great theological debate is between sola fide, salvation by faith alone, the Protestant view, and the Catholic emphasis on grace received through the sacraments, especially the Eucharist. In your exam, always include a SOA, always use the word reconciliation, and in 12-mark questions, always assess the strength of arguments rather than just describing them. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, every mark you earn is a mark you prepared for. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode of Exam Ready Religious Studies.